I guess I'd like to look a little bit more at the relationship between a company like Rio Tinto and Indigenous rights in Australia, because Rio Tinto is a company that has historically a reputation for having a fairly poor human rights record and environmentally speaking as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund?
Definitely. Well, that was set up in 1996 by Rio Tinto, and they said it was so they could work in closer partnership with Aboriginal communities in Australia. But I guess it'd be useful just to sort of basically outline some of the problems with Rio Tinto, but I guess before I talk about their willingness to work with Aboriginals in Australia, because if you look at their track record of working across the world, then you see that they have almost no concern for Indigenous communities at all. And so I guess for almost, they have a long, long history over, I think, over 100 years. And so for the largest part of that, they've completely ignored Indigenous rights, I'd say. And I guess this has been fairly well documented, and there was a big citizens group set up and going for some years, and they published a book in 1992, and they called it Plunder, the Story of Rio Tinto's Inc. So that was, I think that fairly much summarizes the role of Rio Tinto in the world, especially, and that was in 1992, and this book documented case after case from country after country where they've abused human rights and the environment all over the world. But things don't seem to have changed much, and just in 2008, I think it was, in 2008, it was reported that the Norwegian government had sold a $500 million holding in Rio Tinto after accusing it of grossly unethical conduct relating to environmental damage at their Grasberg mine in West Papua, Indonesia. And so, you could go on and on. Like Mark Curtis wrote an excellent online news report for War on Want, and that was called Fanning the Flames: The Role of the British Mining Companies in Conflict and the Violation of Human Rights. And so clearly you have to take their activities to work with Aboriginals in Australia with a pinch of salt to try and determine what they actually want to do. And so anyway, so they set up in 1996, they set up the Aboriginal Fund, and since then they've distributed, it's infinitesimal amount really, but they've distributed 15.3 million Australian dollars since 1996. And so if we just try and work out how much money they make each year, well, according to reports which have already been published, Rio Tinto had net earnings of $7.4 billion in 2006 alone. So, this is almost a whitewash of their relations with Indigenous communities, as opposed to a greenwash, because they're spending almost no money to help Aboriginal people, but they make out that they're doing an awful lot. So the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund was launched in 1996, and so, I hadn't heard much about the fund till fairly recently, but I had the first thing I did was have a look at the board of directors and the people who've been involved in the project over the years. And so at the moment, the chair of the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund is a man called Chris Renwick, and he's the chairman of Coal and Allied Industries, which is managed by Rio Tinto Coal Australia. And amongst his other corporate connections, he's a board member of a corporation called Downer EDI, where he sits alongside a man called Michael Harding. And he, in turn, is the chairman of the Army Project Governance Board of the Australian Department of Defence. So I guess this sort of harps back to the links that exist between what are meant to be progressive foundations to help people and the military. And so that's a fairly indirect connection, but it's there nonetheless. And so you could also look that Rio Tinto has actually maintained direct military ties as well through the corporation itself. And so you have Paul Skinner, who's the former chair of Rio Tinto for the past, was it, I think from 2003 to 2009, and he's still a member of the Defence Management Board at the Ministry of Defence in the UK. And this is a high-level committee whose role is to deliver the aims set by the UK's defence policy, including, to quote, achieve success in the military tasks we undertake at home and abroad. And so Rio Tinto itself has long ties to the military and has worked closely with the military and supports the military in Indonesia to help protect their mining operations. So you have a man who's on the chair of the Aboriginal Fund, who's connected to military people as well. And so you have the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund, which is seemingly, and Rio Tinto itself, are connected to the military. And of course they're connected to the mining industry. So you wouldn't really expect progressive intellectuals or activists to become involved in the Aboriginal Fund. But sadly, this really hasn't been the case. And so that might be more of a sign of the desperation of Aboriginal activists in Australia, that they feel that they have nowhere else to turn to for help other than the mining corporations that cause a lot of the problems. And so probably one of the sort of the saddest examples is the involvement of Professor Luitja O'Donoghue. And so she was the founding chair of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Commission from 1990 to 1996. And then she actually went on immediately to serve on the fund, on the board of directors of the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund, where she served from 1996 to 2005. And so this is highly problematic. And while you might expect an organisation like the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund to fund more sort of pro-corporate approaches to Indigenous struggles, so there you would see, we've seen they provide support to Noel Pearson's Cape York Institute, for example. They also have the support of progressive activists as well. And I guess what I found really disturbing, something that made me become interested in this issue in the first place, was the fact that the Dreaming Festival, which should be held this weekend, is actually, they obtained support from the Rio Tinto Aboriginal Fund as well. And this just sort of made me, I was really upset about that, I guess, because this is a big international event from Indigenous communities from all over the world. And it just seems so wrong to obtain support from Rio Tinto to have to fund the festival.